In the name of the Holy Trinity, who invites us into the fullness of community. Amen. So once a year, the church dedicates a whole Sunday to the Trinity in our song, in our preaching, in our lessons, which is something actually not even mentioned in Scripture, but it's woven throughout. When I say Trinity, I would love to see everybody's thought bubble right now. What did you just think? Probably not, oh good, I can't wait. This is what I've been waiting for all year. But that's a little closer to how it was in the early centuries of the church. This was a big deal. They wrote songs about it, they had parades about it, and they had fist fights over it, literally. I remember standing in the church in Turkey, the Chalcedonian church, where they had the great conference where they literally, the bishops took up shovels and were hitting each other with them about this. That can seem really weird and arcane to us now. What caused the stir? And yet, I think there's something there. What might seem arcane to us, for them, was so important. They were trying to figure out, how does Jesus still lead his followers when he's not around, but is, but isn't? And how does this relate to God? And I would say that the Trinity, more than just an antique notion that the ancient church wrangled about, is actually one of the truest truths we have ever come up with, and has a whole lot that is useful today, especially in a climate of division and divisiveness and tumult. So I know I need to unpack that, and I'll try. And the Trinity will still be a mystery when I'm done. There is a whole new interest in the Trinity in the last couple of decades of theological writing, and some of it is because of quantum theory, that we are learning more and more about our utter relatedness and connectedness, everything to everything at the subatomic level, in ways that are almost too hard to imagine, but they actually sound a lot like the church talking about the Trinity in its early centuries. So in the West, in the Roman church, we're talking like 3rd, 4th century, mostly they were wrangling about who's who, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which one is which and who does what and where the turf lines are. Kind of sounds familiar. But in the East, they took it a different direction. A lot of this got kind of lost in the centuries following. But what they said is, if you want to understand the Trinity, don't look to the points on the triangle. Look at the space in between. Look at the relationship, because it's all about relationship. In fact, they gave a poetic word to what they were trying to talk about, perichoresis, which means to dance around. They said the Trinity was a dance of relationship, a divine dance. And their point was that God wasn't out there as just this solo being in eternity alone. That's not enough. But neither is the love we're talking about, the love of two lovers who are locked in an embrace and a gaze that excludes everything else. But that God is a circulation of giving and receiving generously, unpossessively, that is the essence of God. God is absolute relationship. It doesn't just do it. And that is what quantum physics is saying, that everything is absolutely and utterly related in ways impossible to imagine, that the Trinity is our deep instinct that God is absolute relationship, in a nutshell. But that has really profound impact for us if we take it seriously and let it start to develop in our lives. How we imagine the world is how we experience it. How we imagine God is how we will start to experience God. So it does make a really big difference how we imagine God. I think the great dis-ease of our time, and I would say it's behind all the horrible headlines in the news and all of the vicious divisiveness we're experiencing, is this sense, profound sense of disconnection, of unrelatedness from our neighbor, from ourselves, from our environment. And we're creating that. So reimagining a little closer to the way it actually is essential to our survival and our evolution. In fact, I don't think it's heresy to say, and it's implicit in what some of those early mothers and fathers were saying, is that practically speaking, there is a fourth member of the Trinity. And practically, it's the most important member. It's you and me. That if God is this relational pattern that is the ground of reality, that everything is absolutely and utterly connected, then we're in the dance. And when we're aware of that, that is what releases the Pentecostal power we were talking about last week. Awareness is not everything, but it's a lot of things. So if you listen to the Gospel of John today, and just about every time we read from John, it's this kind of dizzying circular motion. I and them and me, and you and me, and all that is mine is yours, and yours is mine, and I give it to them. And that's exactly the point. If you get dizzy listening to John, you got it. If you can remember that it's just this huge circular motion of a divine dance. And it melts our categories down. It does. Everything participates in everything else and belongs to everything else. So now, who is my neighbor? Who is my enemy? And then we can count on the Apostle Paul to take it another direction, to ground it, make it real. And he does that today in the epistle reading, saying that this big love, this divine love, is grounded in suffering, our suffering. And he's not being a masochist. He's not saying that that suffering is good for its own sake. He just says that this is God uses everything. This is part of the dance. And it's part of a process. He says that suffering produces endurance, produces character, produces hope, produces love. Suffering to love. Or maybe I should go like this. God will use anything and everything in this process, including our suffering, if we will allow it, to draw us deeper into this love that is as big as everything. Because that's how the fabric of reality is built. That is just how God is. It's a divine dance, circle dance, and we're in it. For part of it. And the more we learn the steps of the dance, the more graceful we become. Paul says that. He calls it that today. He says today, calls it the grace in which we stand. Stand in your suffering and let it become love. That's the dynamo of reality. The steps are relational, sacrificial, and vulnerable. Three. Whenever you see those three things, that's Trinity. Wherever you can be those things, that's Trinity. And it happens all the time. And I would say that is true activism, effective action. There is a lot of activism, a lot of action today that is, I would say, not effective action. Because it is grounded in anger and anxiety. And ultimately, it produces more of itself. It just adds to the suffering instead of transforming it into love. That is, in many ways, what's driving our divided politics, what is hastening the breakdown of so many institutions. And we can't fix it by using the same tactics. We have to be rooted in a way of being that is bigger than the problem. And I would say that becoming aware of this divine dance in its deepest and most common manifestations is the way. I was sitting down on the grass yesterday after a wonderfully long and productive day at Pride in the Park yesterday, Matthews Park. We joined with all the Episcopal churches in the region in a booth, and lots of people showed up because the weather was perfect. And at the end of the day on the grass, as the kind of concerts were happening, I just sat and looked around. It was with another parishioner, and just noticed the incredible variety on full display of people being themselves. And being themselves in ways that they probably aren't, you know, I don't see on the street most of the time. Because they could, because they felt permission. And, you know, it's so moving to watch, especially children and adolescents, just opening up and doing that together. There's the dance. It's happening. It's relational. It's sacrificial. And by that, I just mean it's everything's given and everything's received. It's vulnerable. It's beautiful. So as you walk into the week, just watch, just notice what's going on in reality. Notice where your engagements are relational. Notice where they are transactional. Notice the difference there and lean into that relationality. Again, it's going to be in the commonest engagements. Notice where they are sacrificial. And by that, again, I just mean where you're giving yourself and where you're taking what's given. That's that circular flow. And notice where they are vulnerable, where you are giving and receiving all that's been given. That's all Trinity. Relational, sacrificial, vulnerable. That is the deep pattern of reality, the pattern of God. And as we become more aware of this, as we become good at practicing it, that's the grace. We get good at dancing. That's how we accelerate change. And that is how the world changes. That is how we learn and love to dance. Amen.